Our scripture is Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 44. We have made it to the end of Luke. As you know, we're going through the gospel. It's been a couple years now, I think, and we're in chapter 24. What has happened up to this point, Jesus has had his full ministry. He was crucified on that Good Friday, buried, and then on Sunday he was raised. And now he's been appearing and showing up to the disciples. And each time he shows up, he's opening things. He's opening their he's opening the scriptures with them. He's opening the table to them. And so what I want you to listen for as I read the text is listen for the phrase open. He opened. What does he open? That's what I want you to listen for. So this is on probably the week after. So it was like he was raised on Sunday. Then it was the very next week after. The disciples are gathered in this upper room, and he comes into their midst, and he says, touch my sides, touch my hands, see it's really me. Then he eats with them, and then that's where we pick up the story. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus keeps showing up, and he keeps opening up. Remember, this is where it all started, right? That Sunday morning, the tomb was opened up. And then there were two disciples on this road leaving from Jerusalem, going out to Emmaus. They were dejected, sorrowful, walking this road, not sure what had just happened, and Jesus shows up, and then he opens up the scriptures and explains it to them. They still don't get it, right? So they sit down at the table with him, and then he has a meal, and their eyes are opened, and they see Jesus. Now it's a week later, and Jesus somehow opens a locked door and comes on in, even though the disciples are scared, frightened, hiding out, if you will. And he opens up his body. He says, touch my hands, touch my side. He opens himself to them. Then he opens up a table, and he says, give me a piece of broiled fish. They have a meal together with the real risen Jesus. He's shown up in their midst, and now he's going to open the scriptures to them. Did you see that? In verse 45, he opened their minds to understand the scripture. I would call this a Kairos moment. Do you remember when we talked about this? If you want to go back and listen, you can. It's on the internet out there. January 21st, I think, is when we looked at it, is this idea of a Kairos moment. So let me give you some language for when Jesus shows up and then opens up. When he shows up, we call that a Kairos moment. What we mean by that is, some people last time were like, how do you spell that? Okay, it's a Greek word, so don't worry about that. K-A-I-R-O-S. K-A-I-R-O-S. Kairos. It's not the opposite, but the word pair would be with chronos. Think of like chronology. My watch is chronological time. Kairos is different. It's when the kingdom of God breaks in. It's Jesus showing up in their midst. It's this saturated time for the kingdom to break in. So that's him showing up. And then you have him opening up. Did you catch all these different openings? What I would use is another Greek word there. I'd use the word metanoia. Meta means beyond, above, overarching. Noia is the way we think. Basically, metanoia is the Greek word for my mind was blown. Right? Wait. The dead came back to life. Those who are walking in sin can receive forgiveness. Those who have been cast out are welcomed into fellowship with God. That I can be connected with my Heavenly Father again through the death of Jesus Christ. That is a mental model that just, it is a whole new paradigm shift. So Jesus has these kairos moments where he shows up and then he opens us up. A whole person, head, heart, hands, has shifted into an entrance into the kingdom of God. A transformation. Now, here's the question that I want to land on for us today. What do we do when we have a kairos moment? How do we respond to kairos moments? This is one of those times where you just can't make this stuff up. We've landed on this passage in a time in our church when there have been lots of kairos moments out there. I think of the women's workshop. And the feedback that I've gotten, God has spoken to me. God is up to something. I think of the Fuller Formation retreat that we had last week. There's a men's discipleship group that meets on Thursday. I think of worship last week. When you look out, and with tears coming down people's faces, people that like the Frozen Chosen have their hands up in praise, right? There's these kairos moments that are happening among us. Like, God is breaking in and transformation is happening. Now you're thinking, I wasn't here last week. Tell me about it, Pastor. Come meet with me. I'll be glad to tell you about it. But if you're thinking, well, when was a kairos moment for me? You've probably had them. If you're here worshiping, my thought is at some point you've had an encounter with Jesus. If not, talk to me. I would be glad to tell you more about him. But maybe it was at an uncle's funeral. And it was this aha moment of, I can't keep living like this. I want to give my life to Jesus. That's a kairos moment. Maybe it was reading a psalm while watching a sunset, and this God thing became real to you. It's a kairos moment. Maybe it was a wake-up call. Maybe it was a time when something changed, listening to a song, whatever it might be. What do we do, if you want to draw on that past experience, what do we do when we have had a kairos moment? How do we collectively, as a church, respond to what God is doing among us in our midst? That's a great question. And the answer is right there in the text, in verse 48. It's not so much how we respond, it's now who we are now that we've had a kairos moment. Are you ready? Verse 48. You are my witnesses. That's who you are. If you've had an experience with Jesus, guess what? Welcome to the team. You're now a witness. What do you mean, Pastor? I don't understand. Well, what does a witness do? A witness gets up in the stand and just says what happened. Wait, yeah. You testify to the experience that you had. Well, I had an experience with Jesus, so yes, now welcome to the club. You too are a witness. It's a historic term. It's a legal term, right? To get on the stand and to say what is so. It's not even so much a command. Like, I think sometimes we're like, you better go out there and be a witness. Jesus doesn't give a command. He actually just names your identity. You now have a role. As God's beloved, you are now also a witness. So that's the big idea this morning. Having had a kairos moment, you are a witness. We are witnesses. Now, here's the problem. Sometimes there's pushback with this, there's resistance with this, or maybe it sounds intimidating. I remember when I preached this text 10 years ago. So when I first got here, 29-year-old pastor, I preached like an introductory sermon, right? And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to establish the groundwork here. We're going to look at the four Gospels, and each one has a great commission, right? A lot of people think just Matthew has the great commission. Well, there's a commission in all of them. Being sent out. Like, let's get this mission focused. New pastor, new ground. And I preached about this and how we're witnesses. Somebody came up to me after the service and said, "Preacher, we don't do that here." The witness thing? No. That's your job. We hired you to be the witness. Well, that was 10 years ago, and a lot's changed. Let's praise the Lord that he is showing up and that now maybe there's more a softness of heart that we're all witnesses. I think sometimes we get worried with this text because it sounds kind of churchy. Did you notice where, like, there's a lot of churchy words in it that maybe we've got some baggage with it? Like, preacher, it says repent. I'm supposed to go out there and tell people to repent? Like, well, if you say it like that, it sounds kind of funny. But when you think of, you know, I just taught you a new word. It's actually the word for repent, metanoia. So no, you're not going out there saying, turn or burn, right? You're going out there and saying, there's a whole new worldview that is available to you if you'll step into it. Yes, turn from the path you were on, and now you can actually walk into the kingdom with Jesus Christ now. It's available to you today. Repent. That's what that means. Do you notice in there, there's the word proclaim. People get all like, oh, but, well, that's your job. That's what we hired you to do. You're the preacher. Have you heard? I get this a lot too. There's people, and they'll attribute it to St. Francis, the phrase, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Okay, there's a lot wrong with that. One, St. Francis didn't say it, okay? Two, it is necessary to use words. I get the sentiment, right? Live a life in such a way that points to Jesus. Please, by all means. But the gospel is news. You have to use words to communicate what Jesus has done. Words are required. Last time I checked, you don't turn on the news and it's just silent. You don't open up a newspaper and it's just blank. So we can't charades what Christ has done for us. You actually announce, you proclaim, Jesus Christ has died for my sins. He is Lord over all creation. Can you too submit your life to him and walk with him in newness of life? That's proclaiming. I think we don't like that word proclaim, but it's kind of hard to find a relational equivalent for today. Because you know where that word proclaim, it's the word for herald. We don't have heralds anymore because we don't have kings like that. You know what a herald would do? So there'd be a king, and he's about to arrive into town, and so the herald would go and get the crowd together, and they'd blow the trumpet and say, the king is coming. Or they'd blow the trumpet, and then they'd read the edict from the king. That's what Jesus is telling us to do, that he's the king, right? And we blow the trumpet and say, look what he's done. But it's, if you've experienced him, it's not hard to say, here's what he's done. Since we don't have heralds anymore, last time I checked, I don't know, anybody a herald? No, okay. Maybe a better illustration is a tour guide. Think of what a tour guide does. They're in love with the city. And they can't wait to tell you all about it. I know locals don't really ride the carriage rides in Charleston, but if you were to go on a carriage ride, somebody's visiting, you get on the carriage ride, and there's Jill, the tour guide, and you wouldn't get off the carriage and be like, oh, Jill, she was the best. She's so amazing. She's got four kids, and this one's going to this school, and you know all about Jill. No, if she did it right, you're like, oh, Rainbow Rose, the best. I love the battery. Wasn't that really cool? Did you learn all that about the churches and the da-da-da, right? Because a good tour guide points to the beauty of the city, the enchantment, the intrigue. It's not about the guide. It's about the city. So it is with Jesus. We're tour guides of Jesus. His beauty, his love, the intrigue, the enchantment. I'm so in love with him. If you're spending time with me, I'm going to talk all about Jesus. It's necessary to use words. One theologian said, the preaching of Christ is as much a part of God's plan as the death and resurrection of Christ. is not just that he would die and be raised for our sins. The plan is also for me and you to proclaim that act, to bear witness to that act, to get up on the stand and testify. I think that's pretty amazing that Jesus didn't come with a TikTok reel to show us. Just share this with everybody. Or a book. Well, he did give us a Bible, right? But you. He put you in this world. And it's not that the church has a mission, like let's pull ourselves up and let's go do our mission. No, God has a mission of sharing that good news with the world, and we join him on that mission. So it's not what you ought to do. Go witness. I mean, raise your hand if you've witnessed enough. I mean, well, how do you know you're done, right? It can be so shame-filled. Or if it's not an ought to, it's actually part of an identity. It's who I am. He's saying, you've seen me. You've experienced me. That makes you a witness. I'll close with this. This last summer, I had the opportunity to travel to Alaska. And we're big into the national parks. And Glacier Bay National Park is one of the ones you can really only see well by the water because it takes you in and you can see the glaciers. And as we were going into Glacier Bay, I came across this quotation. It said, "Travel. It will render you speechless and then turn you into a storyteller." Oh, that's good. Travel. It will render you speechless and then turn you into a storyteller. And so it kind of planted that seed in my mind, and then we're going on up, and then it happened. We come up to one of the glaciers, and it calves. That's like when a big chunk of it breaks off and lands in the water. That's what makes the icebergs. And it has this sound, like the native people call it white thunder. Just this smashing. And you know what I did? I went, "Look! I was speechless. And then now look at me. I'm telling you all about it. I'm a storyteller. It rendered me speechless, and then it makes me a story." We've all been like, hey, can I show you the slides of my trip? Right? Then it got me thinking, what about Jesus? Not travel, but Jesus. Friends, follow Jesus. He will render you speechless and then turn you into a storyteller. So friends, if you've had a Kairos moment, guess what? We are witnesses. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.